What's better than a regular happy hour? How about an ultimate happy hour for moms? Martini Mamas Podcast is a weekly hangout for modern mamas to discuss mamahood, work-life balance, blended families, and self-care. So whether you're looking for advice, community, or a new bestie, you are in the right place. Cheers.
Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing episode of Martini Mamas. I have another guest. I know I say all my guests are amazing because they are. I got the cream of the crop up in here, y'all. So today we have Aki here. She's a life coach, transformative speaker who is going to speak life into us. But more importantly, we're going to talk about alignment and not the good part. So, but first, let's get her on in here. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey there. How are you?
I am so good. I am so good. I want you to do the pleasure of introducing yourself to the audience. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and just bring us on into your world.
Yeah. So like Rika said, my name is Aki. I am a professional speaker, certified life coach. And I would say from the stage, I use storytelling to help companies and organizations personally develop their teams. And I also do trainings. And as far as life coaching, I specialize in limiting beliefs, and that encompasses everything from what we're talking about today, alignment, tackling those beliefs that you have either accepted for yourself, the beliefs that you have created for yourself, the things that have been passed down that are keeping you stuck, stationary, or stagnant. And I help clients do that. And so that's an honor. Also a mom. So I definitely resonate with being here with the Martini Mamas. Like I told you before we started, I've listened to several of your episodes and I'm like, oh my God, I resonate with all of this. My son is 6 and he was a beautiful surprise. We actually did not plan to have kids. He was a beautiful surprise. And so I went from being the fun, free, childless aunt to mom, you know, so there were some conversations that had to be had that weren't had prior to. You know, there were some realizations that had to be had that weren't considered before. There was a lot of personal growth and development that had to take place. And motherhood changed me through and through, completely different person. So that's me personally and professionally in a nutshell.
Well, we're going to get back to a couple of those things that you said. But before we do that, let's do our mama quick vibe check. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. First question.
Okay.
They all say that, but it's fun. Okay. First question. If you were in trouble, who would you want defending you? Olivia Pope or Annalise Keaton from How to Get Away with Murder?
Oh, see, y'all are going to cancel me because I have not seen How to Get Away with Murder. Y'all can cancel me. Am I canceled? Because initially, I'm like, Olivia Pope did the thing. But I haven't seen How to Get Away with Murder. I'm not a huge TV person. Y'all don't cancel me, huh?
Get canceled? Let's see what you're going to be saying with this next question. Okay. Which friend group could we catch you in? Okay. Are you hanging with Martin or are you with the Living Single group?
You talking about now? Oh man, that's good. Oh, you're stumping me.
You just gotta be with.
Can I be with some during the week and some on the weekend? Oh my God. Okay, so during the week, I'll be with Martin. On the weekend, I love a good laugh. I love messy laughter. I do. And I grew up in that kind of family. My dad was a hot mess, keep you laughing, just fun drama.
Right.
But I love hanging with my girls. I love hanging with my girls. So I can't choose. I would say a little bit of both.
Okay. Well, see, that's it. You just had those two questions today.
What else? I'm not ready. I got to go watch How to Get Away with Murder. Oh my God. I know it's good. I've heard it's so good. I'm not a big TV watcher. And I'm like, oh my God, another multi-season show that I will be trapped in that will be amazing. Oh. Will take all of my time.
Yeah, but you know, winter is coming. I will just say that winter is coming. You'll have
okay.
time. You'll have time. So, you know, in your introduction, you talked about not wanting to have kids. And I had a previous guest on here say the same thing. Are you married? Can I ask
I
that?
I am. I am married now, and we are separated.
Okay. So when y'all first, was that a conversation that both of you had that, hey, I don't want kids?
Yes. So he had a son. I say had because unfortunately he passed away last year, his eldest son. But he had a son already at the time when we got together. I want to say his son was maybe preteen. Thinking preteen. He was between 12 and 14 years old. I haven't done the math, but around that age. I had always said I didn't want to get married or have children. Plot twist. Yeah, I said I did not want to get married or have children. And I ended up doing both. But in the beginning, the conversation was, you know, we just both wanted to travel, which we did a lot of traveling, traveled the world, had a great time. I have a lot of nieces, I have a couple of nephews, I have a lot of godchildren. I've always had mentees and like young people around me, young girls around me. I've worked with kids a lot. I had a nonprofit. Like I've always been in that circle with like young people, and I just didn't want my own. And so it wasn't like a, we are not ever having kids. It was kind of like a, do you want to have kids? Like, not really. And it's like, yeah, I have a son. I'm kind of good on that. And that's, you know, where it, you know, stayed. And then 6 years into the marriage, I honestly didn't think I could get pregnant. I'm like, I mean, I've never been pregnant before. Right. I'd never been pregnant before. I mean, nothing was wrong with me, but I'd never been pregnant before. And we were together for 6 years. And so, you know, when that time of the month didn't come, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just a little late. No big deal. It's not a big deal. And I took 3 pregnancy tests. Listen, I took the one from Dollar Tree.
Yes.
Dollar Tree. Then I took like the Walgreens brand. And then I took like, I don't even remember, you know, like the high dollar brand.
Yes. 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 The one that's pregnant. Like, I just need to read it. I need to see it. Like, yes. All of them.
And then I went to the clinic and I was like, so I did 4 attempts. I was like, listen, I was like, do you all do a pregnancy blood test? And they were like, we do, but that's not what we start with. And I was like, okay, well, I want that one though. What do you start with? Just curious. And they were like, your urine. And I was like a regular pregnancy test that you like, you know, pee on the strip. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, well, I've already done 3 of those. And the lady looked at me. She said, ma'am, if those say that you're pregnant, you're probably pregnant. You took 3 of them. I was like, yeah. I wasn't, you know, in full transparency, we also were in a very rough, you know, a very rough spot at the time. But I remember crying and I looked at him, I was like, what are we going to do? And he was like, we're going to raise the kid. That's what we're going to do. He was like, you do know we're married, right? And I was like, we are, you're right, we're married. I'm not like 24 and single. Like, we are, yeah, this is true. You know? And we were married at that thing. Point. You did?
I did. Your story is my exact story. I can't even add to it. The only thing was, I was on the phone with my best friend and she was like, girl, if you don't take your butt out of Dollar General and go to Walmart and buy a real pregnancy test, all to the gynecologist. When I told her, you can go ahead and take this blood because I'm not pregnant at all. It's false positive. Yeah. I don't know what you need to do.
Right.
Like, I just retired 4 months ago. I am not about to have nobody else. I already have 3. I'm good. She was like, I had my baby at 40. I was 39 at the time. Okay. She's like, I had my baby at 40. I was like, girl, who have a baby at 40? Not me. She took that blood. And I looked at, you know how they have like on the blood results, they have it like in levels, right? Okay. You can read the blood levels.
Yeah.
And I'm reading the thing and it says the minimum, say the minimum is like 250, right? You got to have minimum of this much HCG, blah, 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 blah. My joint was like 5,204. Girl, I was real, real pregnant.
They actually let you take the blood test. You really couldn't deny it.
I was like, give me the blood test. She was like, okay, I'll put your labs in. You can go right on down there. But what else I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and put your consult in to see the OB, the big hospital.
You can go ahead and get the next step.
She said, already next step.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, yes, you were in complete shock. And then you're like, okay, we're going to raise this baby. And so now some uncomfortable conversations have to be had.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, it wasn't expected at all. I remember going into my laundry room and I remember like my back to the wall and I was just crying. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, this, I just don't know if this is the best time to have a baby. Like, what am I going to do? And I remember like hearing Spirit say, trust me. Just trust me. And when I look at my son now, it's like, oh my God, like the biggest like ball of energy, source of joy. The minute he opens his eyes, he is bright eyed and bushy tail. Like just, good morning, mommy. What are we doing today? Like, it's just, I mean, warms every single piece of my heart. But we did have to have a lot of tough conversations, you know? And then I had a lot of internal conversations. You know, I had to question a lot of things because, you know, I realize now I'm bringing a human into the world. So I'm going to be teaching this human thing. I'm going to be like, I'm going to have a lineage now. So, you know, what beliefs am I passing down and what beliefs were true for me 10 years ago or 20 years ago that are no longer true for me today? And being real enough to face, not even real enough, being brave and courageous enough to look at every belief in my life and say, does this hold true for me today? Mm. Is this something that I want my great-great-grandchildren living their life by? Right. And if it's not deeply real and true for me, because it could be true for them or not, if it's not deeply real and true for me, what is deeply real and true?
Yeah.
Like, what do I want to pass down? You know, our mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, our ancestors, they would just, you know, pass these things down. And it's like, nobody questioned why. And it's like, that's how you were raised. You know, you're supposed to do it because that's how you was raised. Or that's what my mama taught me. Or that's what my daddy taught me. Or that's what we did when we were younger. And that's fine. A lot of those things have wisdom in it. But has anybody sat and said, do these things hold true today? Does this serve me today with where I am, with my personal evolution, with my personal growth, with how I think and believe for myself individually and my family? Does that work with our family structure? And sometimes, a lot of times, it doesn't.
Right.
And so I had to literally, it's almost like I made a mental checklist of like deeply rooted things. Like, I don't want to teach him that.
You know, I think we fail to realize also is so much in our blood and in our DNA. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some learned things that's passed down, but there's simply some things that's just in our DNA that we have to stop at the root. One is reading the book Kindred and by Olivia Butler. Mm-hmm. And so as he's reading this book, he's just talking to me through it. But in there's a character in there. His name is Rufus, and the main character ends up killing him, you know? But every time something was wrong with him, she would travel back into the past. Mm-hmm. And in the past, it was slavery. But it got to a point I was explaining to him that there was a visual representation of how we break generational curses, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How it's always something trying to pull us back from the past when we're mm-hmm. in our trying to get to our future. And if we don't stop it then, right, it'll keep pulling us and we'll never get to what God designed us. You know what I mean? What he destined us to be. And so I think a lot of us, when we have kids, it is a healing space for mothers because we have to revisit everything. How we was, you know, as a child, you felt neglected in this space. So we overcompensate in that area, right? And truly become the mom we wish we had. But also the, I say, be the mom that your kid needs.
That's it.
And I think that comes with a lot of self-awareness on our part, but then just really understanding and seeing our kids, right? For that's who big. They, what's something that was like really big that you like, that doesn't hold true for me now. I'm going to have to change this.
I had to, okay, I'm going to say I've never shared this publicly. That's why I'm like kind of hesitant. But one thing, well, a big thing, I really had to examine my religious beliefs. And I had to examine how I was going to teach him about God and the freedom of like leaving it loose. And when I mean loose, like not forcing things down his throat, and not having this oppressive relationship with God. For me to reconstruct, like, I can't view God as a being that's going to get me. I have to view God as, you know, a loving entity, you know, like, truly loving, truly accepting, truly allowing me to be on this journey called life, not making me at fault every time. Every time I do something wrong, or quote unquote wrong, that's relative. But every time I do something wrong, I'm going to get got, versus I'm on a journey and I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm actually just learning. And these are called lessons. And like, if I'm at school and I fail a test, you don't put me in detention because I failed the test. You give me tools to learn so that when I retake it, I get it. You know what I'm saying? And it's not an actual, you don't like flunk me out of the grade because I failed the test. It's like you allow me and give me resources to get the lesson that I missed somehow. It's not, you know, a damnation thing. And that was huge for me because I grew up in the church. And that's the thing. I was like, I don't want to teach my son that, you know, God, who is the creator of all, is constantly down your back like this. He's going to, you know, get you and whip you and you're going to be in hell. And you're going to, you know, if you don't pray this morning or you don't say your grace, tomorrow you'll be in hell if you die. It's like just that fear, the constant fear. So you cannot tell me I'm a friend of God and then treat me like I'm a foe of God, you know? And so that was a big thing for me.
I think what happens is that we misconstrue man's God with God. You know, we put these labels on God. You know, we make it seem as, you know, he's in this box. I can only receive him when I go to this place, which is church. There's only certain people who are anointed. Just, we have all of these conversations, right? I think for us, it's a trauma too, because. It's like the trauma of you do bad. Now you got to go stand in front of the church and, you know, get prayed for. And it's just like, no, I'm just being a kid. Like,
right. What? I'm just trying to figure this life out like everybody is. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Me having to actually sit down, read my own, like read the Bible for myself. And I always went in the pretense of reading the Bible is there's nothing new under the sun. Right. So when I read my Bible, I want to read it from a sense of why do we do the things that we do? Mind with that, as opposed to someone telling me that I have to do it this way. Because it's, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like, down to like, I hate to say it, even pulling out. Hey, people in the Bible was pulling out. That ain't...
Hello.
It's nothing new under the sun. Read your word. That's when the spilling of the seed. Read your word. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And even with my kids now, I don't teach that. I teach making it applicable for them and letting them know that I'm not the source. Mm-hmm. Right. And instead of you're doing bad, I want you to know we're the source of your strength, or the source of, you know, just your blessings come from, as opposed to you didn't wash the dishes, so you're not being obedient to me. And so therefore you're going to hell.
Right. Because the Bible says that you're supposed to obey your mother and father, your days will be longer. You are not obeying, so your days are going to be short. And since you disobey, it's going to be short. And when you leave here, it's going to probably be hell.
It's the thing. We sit down and we just talk about, well, what was something that stuck out to you in the sermon? And how do you make it applicable for you? Right. And that's just teaching them how to build their intuition and their gut feeling and to hear God's voice. Right. So, because it's going to be some things that you hear that I won't necessarily hear, that's not going to affect me. And I think we all go through that phase. It's some things that we hear in our spirit, like you said, like, trust me. And you was like, okay. Yeah. And peace comes with that. And so that's right. what I'm trying to teach my kids. And so as we get into the conversation of alignment, again, it is that uncomfortable conversation that needs to be had, mm-hmm. because I think social media likes to do this rose petals thing, like, oh, sprinkle it. And, you know, long as your mindset is good, you're good. And you're like, yo, mm-hmm. but what happens when my mind is not good? Mm-hmm. I'm believing for greater, but my faith is being tested. Mm-hmm. I'm believing for greater, but something in my spirit is like, oh my gosh, you know, I just feel like I ain't got it. Like, have mm-hmm. you had these moments?
Oh my gosh. Just the other day. Just the other day, and you know, I was reminded of what faith is. And when I say reminded, because we all have definitions, right? We can look at the definition in the dictionary. We can look at the definition according to, you know, whatever your spiritual beliefs are. But a lot of times definitions come to me like in my own words, or like through my own life path. And like for me, faith is believing even when you can't see that it's happening, even when it feels like it's not going to happen. Woo! Like, I just, yes, yeah. I the other day I was on my walk and that was the thing. It's like, you don't even have faith until you feel like it's not even really gonna happen. But you still say, I'm going to believe. Whatever that is, that's that hard, like the real, true, like hard thing about faith. Because a lot of times we think about faith as we're just believing, and we're happy as we're believing because we know. But what about when you don't really know, though? What about when you...
Or are you trusting optimism, or you're trusting God that he gonna really come through? I think that that's two different things, because when we're believing, it's that faith, like, I'm hoping, right? But are you believing in the hope, or are you believing in God to say that it's already done? That's right. That's struggle bus.
And just knowing, like, okay, and like as we talk about alignment and move into that, like my definition for alignment is becoming the version of yourself that you see in your mind and you feel in your heart.
So I think that's another thing too, right? Some people can feel it, but they can't see it, right? Like you can feel, I want to go to the next level. You can feel like I know that I'm meant to do more, but you can't see it. How do
so
you?
So when I say see it, I mean, okay, like what you just said, you can feel you want to go to the next level. Okay, what does that actually mean? Does the next level mean the next level of what? Buying a new house? Does it mean the next level, a position in your job? Does it mean the next level in your entrepreneurial journey? Does it mean the next level in your marriage? Does it mean that your next level of your children's growth and development? Like getting specific, what does the next level mean? Right. So let's say the next level is, you know, phasing yourself out of your job so that you can do your work full time. Okay, so then what does that look like? That looks like instead of getting up in the morning or whatever days or nights or however, whatever your work schedule is, maybe not having that and taking that time and fully being able to put it into your passion work and what you want to do. Or maybe if you didn't have time to do these things with your kids, now you will have time to do that. If you like helping people and coaching or speaking or doing your podcast and doing interviews and meetups around town, being able to do more of that. So you do see it. It's just being specific about that. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And I think in order for us to do that, and I know that you are a big fan of this, it does require us to get quiet and still.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And asking those questions.
I know. And really taking the time to sit in it and have the conversation with yourself without any other influences.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of moms out there that are going through this space of they're always looking at career as success, but like there's so many other areas that we should be defining success in. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just career. I mean, just to keep it really plain, what if tomorrow you're laid off? Mm. Like that chapter is closed instantly.
Yeah.
Then what? Like, of course, you can go find another job, but it's like, it's more to it than just what you do. It's about who you are. Who you are in the doing, right?
Yes.
So whether it's a job, whether it's motherhood, whether it's an entrepreneurial journey, like whatever it is, a passion project, your relationship, it's who you are in the doing that you have to be happy with.
When we are tying our happiness to, I know one of the things that I struggled with was when the door of being this Navy chief in the military, when that door shut, it was rediscovering this new identity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 40. I'm starting over, having a new baby, you know, and now I need to figure out what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
Guide somebody through that. Just on the discovery, you know, process, what would you suggest?
I think the very first thing is remembering who you were before you took on the titles, before you had the responsibility, before the supposed to's, I like to call them, came into play. And a lot of times that will take you to your childhood. It will take you to the moments that you felt the most free, the most alive. And really like think about it and like just kind of connect the dots of what was it? Like I think about myself. It's like, when you were a kid, H.E., what did you do in your free time? What did you do in your free time? What did you had no responsibilities other than, you know, cleaning up or doing your chores that you always procrastinated on. Like, other than that, what did you like to do? Like, I loved being in my room. I loved being in my own world. I would take all of my toys and I would make them my audience. I would talk to my toys. I would like, we would have our own adventures together. Like, I was very imaginative. Even when I think about how I was when I got a little older with my friends, my best friend, we are still friends to this day. We've been friends since I was 11 years old. And she always, you know how your friend, your close friends and family can remember things about you that you tend to forget. And so she would always say, she said, H.E. used to always say that you're the giver of truth. And I was like, I did used to say that. And I said that like as a, I mean, I was in middle school because I was like, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm the giver of truth. And I would just like spew out this long, and I look at it now, that is exactly what I do. I get paid to be the giver of truth. You see what I'm saying? What absolutely made you come alive as a kid and made you feel uninhibited?
You would be cracking up. I used to be a table rapper and write raps that then turned into poetry, and that I would do open mic and I would go speak, and that would be my thing. Mm-hmm. When I was in the military, I was always the MC. Mm-hmm. You know, so
you always found yourself with a mic in your hand or in front of people speaking, using your voice, informing.
Boom.
Yeah, when I listened to your podcast and I saw a couple of your lives on your page, I said, "Oh, she's an informer as well. Her voice is her charging place." Yeah,
thank you. I think that is a good exercise for us all to do. You know, and it doesn't take long. It's just even sitting here, just going through the motions of just like, yeah, you're right, and really going back to childhood and understanding mm-hmm. what, you know, brought you joy and not what someone forced your joy to be. Parents, aunts, grandmothers, their limiting beliefs are sometimes pushed down on kids. And then we don't grow up to be our full selves mm-hmm. until we're in our 40s. And then when we're in our 20s and our 30s, we're not full.
Absolutely. We're living their life. They don't even realize they're like trying to vicariously live through us. And this is why it's important for parents, like not to, it's like, oh, well, I always wanted to be a football player and my dad didn't let me, or I couldn't do it. And now I got a son, you're supposed to be a football player. That's not true. Like if he wants to play football, that's one thing, but he should be one, or a police officer, what have you, because you don't know what that your child's inherent nature is. And our job as parents, I believe, is to continually cultivate them so that we can find those things that they love. I went to, you know what I'm saying? And nothing wrong with getting an education, but there's also nothing wrong with making sure your child, that their gift is being cultivated. And sometimes that's not going to look like what we think we should be doing, according to family, according to society, according to religion, according to it all. It's not going to look like that. And people walk around shooting on us, and it creates misery and it creates resentment. How resentful have so many of us been because we have lived the life that our parents or our guardians told us we should be living? And then you get of age and you're like, wait a minute now, hold on, this ain't right. What have I been doing with my life? Now you're having a midlife crisis.
And when it's not cultivated, you know what happens? Then the kid has to leave and go find it themselves. And for me, that was how I joined the military. No one was talking to me about college. No one was telling me, oh, well, you know, scholarships. I didn't get that, right? And there's one thing to say, we can't pay for college. Mm-hmm. But there's another mm-hmm. thing to say, look, we can figure it out. And when we fail to do the we can figure it out part for our kids, you know, that's the hindrance, you know,
because sometimes our parents won't be that for us. And not because they don't want to be. They just don't know how to be.
They don't know how to be or the capacity to be. Mm-hmm. Space where we forgive them for not having the capacity, for not having the know-how or the wherewithal, or, you know, all of the things. Mm-hmm. Get to a place, and truly when you have kids, you get to that space where you say, oh, I get it now. And because I get it, we go back to, but I'm about to break this, that cycle. And then we become cycle breakers for that. And now, mm-hmm. that you spoke about is like these ideals and these principles and these values that we have on our kids. Now the language change, and now mm-hmm. it's saying you got to do this. Our kids now learn like, no, let's cultivate what you like, not what I like. Is there one lesson that you had to learn on your own that your mom didn't teach you? Now that you're a mom.
Yeah. And we touched on this a little bit before we started recording, but making myself a priority and taking it a step further, advocating for myself. So we hear a lot about, you know, in parenthood, advocating for our children, but advocating for ourselves, standing up for ourselves, making sure we have what we need. Because if I am lacking, baby boy, I can't give nothing to you. Even in that making, when I say making yourself a priority, even not only with, you know, doing things that you love and things that bring you joy and things, but advocating for yourself and make yourself a priority. Like, have you been to the doctor? How's your health? When's the last time you've been to the dentist? Have you gotten your yearly checkup? Are you doing your preventative measures? You know, like things like that. So it's on a, yeah, all of the things. It's like, it's a holistic approach of making yourself a priority and advocating for yourself. Prioritize yourself, because we fail to realize that when we don't make ourselves a priority, we are teaching our children. We think we're teaching our children that, oh, you know, I'm making you a priority. No, we're teaching them to put themselves last. And we're teaching them to be a martyr. You know, and we're not martyrs. We're not martyrs. You know what I mean? And so that is something that I had to learn. I had to learn on my own.
This is so good, because when you said advocate, you know what my mind went to? How we'd be like, ain't nobody gonna play with our babies. We'll be up at the school. Mm-hmm. A teacher ain't gonna play. Like, we will, mm-hmm. we will turn a place out for our kids. Mm-hmm. And we need to move with that same energy as it relates to our health. And, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but just really just taking the time and advocate for self. Oh,
yeah.
That's a word. Figuring out, taking that quiet space to make sure we get back to the basics of who we are, the core of who we are, and mm-hmm. writing it down and making sure that our goals align with that.
Yeah. Like, what? letting that be the thing that we're striving toward, because I don't want to go on too long, but the thing is, we fail to realize that is what we talk about, what God has placed in our lives and what God wants us to do with our lives. It's already in there. It's already in there. And a lot of times we go and we're like pleading and begging and praying, and it's like, well, I don't know what to do, and I can't hear God. It's like, well, because it's already there. The treasure's already there. It's like you're begging for the treasure to be put in the ground, and it's already there. You just got to dig. It's already there, though. So quit coming back to me begging for the treasure that I already put there. You just got to search and get it.
Girl, don't make me jump out my seat. Don't make me do this. Oh, I'm busting out at the seams, because yes. And then we get into the cycle of him trying to fix your mind and fix your heart and get you back together, that you now have to go through the other cycle, because when you were supposed to be in the season of nurturing, you can't even get to the harvesting, because you're not even in a space to do the sowing.
We could go on forever. I can already tell.
Well, that is the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. If we're not connected on Instagram, which is my favorite place to hang out, be sure to stop by and say hi at Martini Mama's podcast. Also, if you haven't done so, please follow, rate, and review us. Higher ratings and higher reviews mean more dope moms can find us, and I keep bringing you fresh mom content that matters. Until next Thursday. Be blessed.